getting ourselves ready for a... I mean, it's a postseason. It's kind of exciting. I saw that the... it didn't seem like the ticket prices were that exciting by the fans to get in. It's like $42 to get in, $43.
Yeah. I mean, those are for uppers. Hold on. I'm looking on SeatGeek right now.
Okay.
Oof.
Is oof good or bad? I don't know if that's good or bad.
I mean, cheap.
Okay. Well, it's not good for interest, but that's good for your pocketbooks.
All right. So according to SeatGeek, I'm on the website right now, on the app, I should say. You want to go to the game Saturday night?
No, I got to do post game here.
It was more of a rhetorical question.
Sorry. I thought you were genuinely asking. You're the type of person, by the way, when you ask those questions, usually it's like, oh, I got a couple tickets, or I'll buy a pair. Let's go do that.
I'm not going Saturday, but like, yeah, I can see where you thought I was asking you to go.
I thought you genuinely, not asking me to go, I thought you genuinely were going to be like, yeah, I'll get you tickets. I got tickets. I have extra. It happens. You've done that before.
I have done that before. Yeah.
I remember one time you used to offer me, it was like every week for like 4 weeks straight, you offered me Browns tickets when in the middle of 1-31. And I kept being like, Dustin, I would rather do anything but go to the Browns game when they're
so would I.
In the 0-60. And that was your response to that. You're like, I'm not trying to do this either.
Well, I had to work. And at the time because I was working for the team, I got tickets.
That was very nice of you.
And I couldn't find anyone to go.
Hey, to be the amount of people that have offered me tickets at this place, it's very few and far between. So I appreciate it anytime you do.
It's amazing, though. Back to this story. So the Cavs versus Magic Saturday night, you can get in the door and go sit in Loudville. Two tickets, $22 each.
22?
$22.
Oh, I might go for a quarter at $22. I mean, yeah. I might just pop in for a half and then make my way over here. $22.
They dropped. You saw earlier for 40 something.
Yeah, that was with fees though. So I mean, yours are without fees, it's probably about the same, like 30s, 40s.
That's fair.
High 30s.
All right, hang on. Let me check out here. I'm not really gonna check out. But
I like how we're like, yeah, the fees are gonna be about like double what the $22 actually is, and no one disputed that because it just is what it
no,
is.
No, I mean, I'm checking right now.
Fees are $12.50. So
lifetime $35 with fees.
Yeah,
that's including fees.
$35 with fees.
That's really good, though.
You're going to the game, you and your girlfriend, you and your wife going to the game for $70 total.
You, your wife, and your girlfriend. All three of you can
take them all. I don't know.
make it a good time.
Yeah.
Sugar daddy.
All right. Zach Lowe is going to be more depressing than ticket prices for the Cavs. Zach Lowe, what I love about this is, and Zach Lowe, obviously on ESPN, he does a podcast, and he's very well known in the basketball community. I like that he's thinking a little big picture here and the ramifications of all this attached to what happened. And I want to hear from you, 216-474-0092. Do you agree it's a must-win series? Do you agree there'll be changes in the organization if they don't win? This is why Kobe Altman did what he did. Everyone, it feels like they put themselves in a mental pretzel trying to figure out why exactly Kobe Altman wanted the easiest path possible. It's simple, because that answer from Zach Lowe would have been the same answer if it was the 76ers or if it was the Magic. And now, fortunately, Dustin, we're 48 hours removed from it all, so people have calmed down a little bit. They have the understanding that winning game 82 meant absolutely nothing, and they're living with the reality. Winning the postseason series is all that matters for Kobe Altman keeping his job. If he wins that series, he can go to his boss and say, we've gotten better with each successive year. We went from a wild card play-in team into a first-round loser and now a first-round winner into round two. Mm. A linear path has been created. You've done it. That's all GMs. It's all team presidents, all they ever try to do. We're just trying to show you how we've gotten better at every stage. Like if your kid gets a C-, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I guess it's a C- student. And then the next year, all of a sudden you get a C+. You're like, all right, we're moving up. And then the next year after that, it's like B-. You're like, oh my gosh, this kid's trending towards an A, right? This is what we have to think. Doesn't matter to you that your kid cheated off the kid next to you to get the B-. Who cares? They got the B-. And that's what the Cavs are going for right now. You're just trying to go for the linear path, the path that takes you from improvement with each year. And you can sell that to people. And I don't know if Cavs fans are buying that though. And that's what I want to know from you Cavs fans out there. Are you buying the idea that just because they win in the first round, the organization is going to stay exactly the same and not be moved? Or do you agree with Zach? Losing the first round, drastic changes across the board, and the people you hear from now in independence are not going to be there anymore.
I think that's a fact. If they do not win this series against Orlando, there's going to be a lot of change, I believe, in independence. And if they win, there still could be a lot of change. Because I think it depends on what happens against Boston.
Oh, if you're basing anything off of what happens in Boston, I think you're going to have a real problem if you're Kobe Altman.
Is that a sweep?
It might be. I would bet sweep more than I would bet gentleman sweep. Mm. And I know yesterday we tried coming up with a bourbon named gentleman sweep. So like we're out here trying to push a gentleman sweep, but when Jarrett Greenberg laughs at us, legitimately laughs at us for asking the question about how they would do against
Boston. I think
you
said no chance.
And then he chuckled.
Zero chance.
He laughed like we were at the ha-ha.
Yeah.
It was insane.
We were at the what? The ha-ha?
The ha-ha hut. It's my go-to fake comedy club.
The ha-ha
hut? For years, I used to name a real comedy club in town. I stopped doing that. But that's no shade to them. I just stopped giving them free advertisement. Still a good club. I would still go. I still do go.
But the ha-ha hut's difficult to say. You can't just say like the funny bone?
I could say the funny bone, but I feel like
there's a funny bone everywhere.
Yeah, but the ha-ha hut, I think, is a funnier thing to say. I think when you hear ha-ha hut, you're like, oh, that's okay. All right. I got it. You say the funny bone, it sounds like I'm actually trying to come up with a real club. I say funny bone, people are like, where's that one at? I haven't been there before. Is that one in every city in America? Say the ha-ha hut, everyone knows it's a fictionalized comedy club. It's not a real one.
Okay.
Now I'm going to look online, and there's got to be like 75 ha-ha huts across the country. It'll be a franchise. I'll have no idea. But the point being, I think Zach Lowe is right, and I think you guys deep down know Zach Lowe is right. Does it bother you that Zach Lowe is right, though? Because I think there's a part of the fan base that is almost asking for something like this, Dustin. You're asking for there to be changes. You don't want to see what you currently saw not only this year, but what now you're staring into in the postseason. And there's a lot of room for this to change, by the way. You know, if Darius Garland comes out and my galaxy brain idea on Darius Garland comes true, where I believe that Darius has been holding back after, you know, drinking the steak through the blender. He's been holding himself back because he broke his jaw. So the regular season, he's just not going to go as hard. And in the postseason, we're going to see the old version of Darius Garland. If stuff like that happens and you get a lot of these players playing top basketball and they're winning games and you're looking good and you're humming, then I feel like fans will reconsider what Zach Lowe is saying. But if you lose, the way Zach is suggesting, then yeah, I think organizational changes are 100% on the table. 216-474-0092 on Twitter. There you can find us at JP and at Dustin Fox 37.
The ha-ha hut was in Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah,
is that where you got it from?
No,
well, that was before you used it, right?
Yeah.
Just ironic.
Yeah, just you know, just is what it is.
I'm finding ha-ha huts.
It's just a funny name for a comedy club.
You find any across the country?
I'm finding ha-ha comedy club, and there's also one in Cleveland called the Funny Bone.
See? I couldn't do that.
I told you there's a funny bone everywhere, but
couldn't take that one. Yeah, we knew there was a funny bone
It's
here.
It's less than a mile away from here.
The funny bone?
Yes.
I don't know, but I mean, okay. I'll take your word for it. Maybe it was previously named that or something. I don't know.
There's one in Columbus.
There's some makeshift clubs. Ever tell you the time I ran into a comedy? It was a comedy event that was in like the bottom of Playhouse Square. Like that, like in Playhouse Square, there's like a basement essentially, and it was like this amateur comedy club event or whatever. I went to it with my wife when we were dating, and it was maybe like date number 4 or 5, and we ran into Lima there by himself. Lima was just out. He's just at this like amateur comedy club. And then like the next week we went to a different comedy club and Lima was also there. And I'm like, I guess we just can't go to comedy clubs because we're just going to run into Anthony Lima every single time we go. Huh. It was a complete group of randoms.
Random performers?
And Lima was just, he was just there by himself. We saw him. He said hi and all that. And then he just kind of like a thief in the night. He was just gone. You turn around and Lima's just gone.
That's called the Houdini. That Lima and Keith have mastered.
I've perfected it. Yeah. No, it's very good at it.
I remember.
It was a weird part of the early parts of the relationship I had with my wife. It was running into Lima everywhere. That's all it was. We just, anywhere we went, we just run into Lima.
He was a man of the people before he got the ball and chain.
But he was somehow everywhere while also being nowhere, if that makes any sense. He was everywhere, but he's never, it wasn't like he was with people. He was just there.
Well, that's Lima.
Okay.
And that's why
he's
miserable these days.
Because
he used to be everywhere.
Would he just go to places and be like, I'll find people I know, and then he'd be there and find people he knows? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that was pretty much his life.
Okay. 216-474-0092.
And then I'd get the random call at midnight from Lima.
Yeah.
This was back when he was single.
And how would that call go?
Oh, it was entertaining.
Was he okay? Yeah. Was it just him spewing out sports takes or yelling about like how he wasn't as successful as he wanted to be at that point in his life.
I used to get the drunk dials.
Okay. 216-474 to 192. Michael,
I wasn't the only one.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, what happens if Miami handles Boston the second year in a row? I think the Cavs match up better with
you know what's
Miami
funny is I haven't even thought about that. That thought has never crossed my mind because I feel like they have no chance.
It hasn't really crossed anyone in basketball's mind, if we're being honest about it.
But you're right. I mean, it could happen.
Everything could happen, but it feels like such a thing with this Boston team that, I mean, they're just so dominant.
I get that too, but there's always, it seems like every playoff year, there's always one series, East or West, where something like that happens.
Yeah, I mean it's not the Heat, it's just a good team.
I mean it's not like we're talking about the Charlotte Hornets here.
Playoff Jimmy
is a real thing.
It is.
I'm telling you, that dude saves himself for the postseason.
For sure he does. I mean, what gave it away? The fact that he's taking selfies with Camila Cabello when they're trying to do timeouts. Like he's a ridiculous human.
I love that guy, and I love the fact that he loves tennis. In country music.
Oh, is he a big tennis guy?
I think him and I'd be friends.
You ever hear Jimmy Butler has torn off the rear view mirror on every car he owns?
No, I did not hear.
Because he doesn't want to ever look behind him. He only looks in front of him. A really expensive sports car. There's a profile once in Sports Illustrated about it. Really expensive sports cars. He tears off the rear view mirror on all of them because he only wants to.
Don't use those?
I guess not. I don't know.
Is that a loophole?
He only wants to see in front of himself. Everything's in the future with him.
You sort of need the rearview mirror.
What a weirdo, man. What a weirdo. Jerry up next. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Jerry.
Good, man.
I just wanted to say, no matter what happens, unless they could beat the Celtics, and that's not going to happen, they're going to make changes. And it starts with the players. I don't care who comes as coach. I don't think this team could do any better. They're about the fifth or sixth best team in the East. And the way I look at it, it's they got good players, but not all good players can play together. They don't have that kind of team. It's too much conflicting talent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't remind you of like, and thank you, Jerry, it doesn't remind you of Denver, where everyone's got a role and everyone understands what their role is. When we watch these games, it feels like any given night, somebody could be the superstar, and that's part of the problem. 216-474-092. Does what Zach Lowe had to say, does it worry you a little bit when he talks about the fact that if they lose, organizational changes are coming, or is it what you're kind of rooting for? In the back of your mind, are you thinking to yourself, you know what? I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. But if it does go down that way, at least you get something out of it. You'll have that sigh of relief. At least we will have some sweeping changes because we haven't had that. And we need that. Zach Lowe and the Lowe podcast, Lowe Post podcast on ESPN. What's fascinating is that he's so confident about it, Dustin. It's not even like it's a question mark like, oh, will they make changes? Will they not make changes? What does it mean for Kobe Altman? It's like, no, if they lose, clean sweep, everyone's gone.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it's across the board. Everyone, peace out.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with it. We can't find a caller to disagree with it. We can't find a tweeter to disagree with it. We can't find a soul to disagree with that logic right there. And I think that just kind of underscores the importance of why Kobe Altman and company did what they did. They will take your booze on Sunday I get it. It's fan appreciation day and you feel like you need to win every game and you should be playing hard and you spent your hard-earned money and it sucks. It sucks that you could have been watching the Masters instead of watching the Cavs. But they have to win this series, mm-hmm. And Kobe Altman understands it. And if they didn't win this series, I mean, again, if they don't win this series anyway, the conversation is what it is, but you got a much better chance against the Magic than you do against the 76ers, and I don't think anybody's debating that part of it.
That part you can't debate.
No. It's very obvious. But what's fascinating to me is how much these next few games will alter the entire course of how we look at Cavs basketball. Like big picture, this is some massive stuff. This is, I mean, you ever think about those moments where it's like, oh, if I hadn't done this, I never would have ended up. Like, I'll give you a good example of mine. So when I was doing radio, first radio job I ever had, it was in a city called Havre, Montana, right? First full-time radio job I ever had. It was in Havre, Montana. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. But it's not a job you're supposed to love. doing radio for 40,000 people in Montana is not a job that you're supposed to love. You're supposed to get out there as soon as you possibly can. And there was a job opening for a station in Wichita. And I sent out the job application the way that you would. And like the moment I got to Havre, Montana, I was sending out applications, right? And so I sent out the application, didn't hear a thing. I got hammered, Dustin, like 2 weeks later. I mean, absolutely hammered. I got hammered one day out of the week because I would work 6 days a week. I'd get hammered on the one day that I wouldn't have to work the next day. So I got blitzed out of my mind. 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk as a skunk, I sent an email. And this email is, I am the greatest sports talk radio host you've never heard. You need to give me this job yesterday. You're an idiot if you don't, essentially, right? Whatever reason, it worked. And I asked my boss later on after the fact, after I already gotten the job, like, so what happened the first time I applied? And he was like, oh, I didn't even see that part of it. I just saw the drunk email you sent me, and I loved it. I was like, this guy's going to work hard for me. He's sending me an email at 2 in the morning how badly he wants this. He's going to work hard for me. But, like, think about how different my life would be if I'd never sent that email. Like, this is that moment for the Cavs. Like, your wife...
You're the one person in the world that a drunk email actually worked out for.
Worked. And I was so adamant. I was like, you got to hire me. I don't know how you haven't hired me already, but you got to hire me. I don't know why you didn't see the last email, but, yeah. Like, let's do this.
Those emails should typically just go to the draft section and then stay there until the morning.
This guy loved it. He loved it. He was like,
the old timestamp can get you.
Yeah, he's like, moment I saw from 2:30 in the morning and the passion you had, I was like, I got to hire this guy. And I think what he realized is he could just work me to the bone because I cared that much is all that really came across as. But hey, whatever. It worked. But this is that moment for the Cavs. If they win this series, Kobe Altman keeps his job. Maybe they run back the core four. Maybe Donovan Mitchell signs because they win the series and everything moves forward. If they lose this series, Donovan Mitchell likely won't re-sign. They'll probably have to trade one of Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley. Kobe Altman is gone. JB Bickerstaff is gone. And you're looking at a completely different Cavs team than what we currently are looking at. This is a pivotal series in the direction of the Cavs. And a pivotal series in the direction of our happiness in trying to watch the Cavs moving forward, Dustin. I got so much at stake.
Yeah, there is a lot at stake. I hate you, though, by the way.
Why? Because I haven't sent you a drunk email?
No, I don't need the drunk email. I just...
You keep asking, I'll send.
You sure about that?
Yeah, you can
sure
have,
about that?
You can have one in your inbox this weekend.
No, because you mentioned Havre, Montana, and then I went down a rabbit hole here.
Why? You don't need to look up Havre, Montana.
I did.
Yeah, what did you find out? What's the most interesting fact about Havre, Montana and the Northern Lights?
You overestimated how many people were listening.
Is there not 40,000 people?
The population is 9,300.
The census has changed a lot in 10, 15 years. Really not. All right. Hey. It felt like 9,300. I did a show called there. It was called Tradio. You ever heard of Tradio before?
They're
popular across the country, but basically it's eBay for the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Best show ever. And so like around town, people would be like, oh, Tradio guy, basically. Get my hair cut, and they just complain about other people that worked at the stations and be like, I like you on Tradio, though. And I'm like, I know.
I'm just looking at like...
I answered, hey, welcome to Tradio. Lawnmower, two tires... 877-355. Got the number. Okay, good. Next up. Now, next up, you're on Tradio. Half hour of phone calls of people just listing things. It was insane.
Dude, you were closer to Calgary than anything else.
Yeah, that was, I always told myself. I wasn't there long. I was only there for 5 months. I kept telling myself I was gonna eventually go up to Canada.
To Canada?
And that's where I was going to have like a big weekend in Canada is what I kept telling myself. I kept lying to myself every weekend because I didn't want to get drunk with the locals. The locals kind of scared me, if I'm being honest. I was in a curling league.
Of course you are.
And I was in a bowling league, and the locals in both those were great. But like you go out to the bars, I didn't like people that weren't from there that often.
How long did you live there for?
It was much tougher. 5 months.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah. Well, the email worked. The drunk email. I was the moment I got the job, I was applying to get other jobs.
How cheap was your apartment there?
$250 a month.
Do you have a roommate?
No, me. In a pretty good size room, too. It was like a...
Like a studio?
No, it was like... Maybe 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
It had everything
decent
you would
size.
Need.
That's all you need.
It was pretty good
and
size.
And you were what, like 20-something? 23?
Yeah. 23, yeah.
For Montana. Haver, Montana?
Type of job you... Yeah, Haver, Montana. Type of job you do radio for 6 days out of the week. And on the sixth day, you also got to clean the bathrooms because they were too cheap to hire cleaning
services. Haver, Montana. The crown jewel of the High Line.
That's right. You better believe it. All 9,300 of us. I'm salt of the earth. I'm brick by brick, man. No, we're not. All right, let's get...
Did you use the High Line? Like, is it some sort of a...
Oh, that was a tagline in a lot.
A tagline? Yeah.
That was big-time tagline there. Yeah, for sure.
As we take a look at the weather in the High Line.
You betcha.
You betcha. What are you, Ryan Rucco?
I thought he was good on the WNBA stuff last night.
You betcha is a hit. I like that.
He was pretty good last night. He's really kind of made himself known as the WNBA guy in a very short amount of time.
And women's college tournament.
He did the Final Four. And then
did a great job,
last night. He was out there on the, yeah, it was great.